This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Folks, we all know about the problems that have existed at the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board for a long time. In an attempt to resolve these issues and to bring some clarity to governance and regulation of this utility, the council and others had legislation introduced, and now the mayor and the city council both claim victory on the bill as it meanders through the legislative process. And here to try to clear this up is J.P. Morrell, City Council at Large. J.P., welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Neil.
So, J.P., I'd really like to make this conversation almost as much educational as anything. And if you would, for the listening audience, a lot of people don't realize the Sewage and Water Board is actually a state agency, correct?
Yes, the Sewage and Water Board is a subdivision of the state of Louisiana created in 1899. And it was created at a time when the state believed it had a vested interest in making sure that sewer and water, as in water coming to houses and sewer going out, was managed from the state level rather than the local level because there were some concerns that the locals couldn't do it correctly. And so it was created in 1899, and it's existed consistently until now.
So when it comes to that, does the state actually provide anything?
Yes and no. So basically, for the most part, it is a local agency funded through two different pots of money. The first is rates. The city council, though it's a state subdivision, in its enabling legislation, the city council is designated as the body that set its rates. So as far as what you pay in your water bill as rates, not the other fees it tacks on, but the rates are set by Sewage and Water Board. The fees also are created and voted on.
Wait. The rates set by the council, right?
The rates, yes. The rates are set by the council, and the fees are also set by the council based upon recommendations or other information from the administration, such as the trash pickup is also part of your Sewage and Water Board bill. What many people don't realize in surrounding parishes is before we get to water, there is $65 in fees that have to be paid on every house. So for most people, like in Jefferson Parish, your entire water bill might be $40 or $50. Your trash and other things are taken care of separately through the city, through millages and the like, but all that's captured in that Sewage and Water Board fee. The other pot of money for Sewage and Water Board is they are able to do bonding in concert with the city through Board of Liquidation and Debt and the city council, and they also have some bonding money to do infrastructure stuff.
So when we think about this House Bill 652, in its original form, as I recall, and I read it, you know, about right after it was introduced, it was really just trying to, I thought, clear these lines of delineation of who's governing what. And if you're setting the rates that are out there, it would seem to me that you'd want to have some more say-so and have more authority in a lot of other different buckets if you're going to have to set the rate.
Right. The original bill, as it was drafted by myself and Representative Hilferty, dealt with clarifying that the council would have full regulatory authority over the Sewerage and Water Board, just like we do over energy, who we also set the rates for. Regulatory authority would have given us control of every aspect of how the Sewerage and Water Board operates. And that was the bill in its original form, which I can go from there as to how it came to its second form and its final form, if that's something that might logically be the way to progress, if you think that's
absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Go
so,
ahead, please.
Once the bill was originally filed to deal with encompassing all regulatory responsibility of Sewerage and Water Board as a water utility, after meeting with Jimmy Harris and some members of the New Orleans delegation, they thought that that was simply the council would not have the ability. Right now, we have a council utility and regulatory office that does utility work for us and manages our relationship with energy, but the way we fund that utility office is through rates with Entergy. So we recapture some of the money in your rates from Entergy to fund that council regulatory office. To build a similar office to regulate Sewerage and Water Board, we would have to raise Sewerage and Water Board rates. And after meeting with Senator Harris and other legislators, said, hey, this is too much. Can we pare it back and compromise? I said, okay, well, meeting with the delegation, we pared it back. The primary problem most people encounter right now with Sewerage and Water Board is billing. Billing is completely berserk and out of control. There are people who have single-family homes who will receive $3,000 to $4,000 bills in a single month. And what's happened over the last couple of years, this has been a problem for many years, but it's really come to head in the last five, is after you would confront the Sewerage and Water Board over your obviously erroneous bill, because if you are in a single family home with no pool, you cannot generate $3,000 of water usage in a month. You would either A, be told, nope, that's what it is, and, you know, pay it or not, or B, you could go through an appellate process, which was very fly by the seat of your pants. You have to hire a plumber to go check your entire house for leaks. Even if you prove there were no leaks, there was no guarantee Sewerage and Water Board would agree with you because the adjudicating hearing officer was a Sewerage and Water Board independent contractor who's paid by them and would usually find in their favor. So the bill in committee was further shrunk to deal with two major issues. The bulk of it is billing. It's creating, since we set the rates and you're paying the rates based on what the council says, people are entitled to be able to challenge bad bills and to have a due process when bills are incorrect. So it created the ability for the council to pass ordinances dealing with billing. The other issue, which is also of equal concern, there's a story today about a turbine that caught fire and the Sewerage and Water Board never disclosed that it wasn't working, was transparency. And I know it's been a big passion of Representative Hilferty, but really to give the council all of the ability to do investigations of the Sewerage and Water Board in a robust way when we find things are not working correctly. So that's the bill in its form when it left committee. It took out all the regulatory language, and we had to amend it on the floor and in Senate committee to further take that regulatory language out to limit it to billing and the transparency. And that's kind of where the
– And she's where Sewerage and Water Board took issues, operations. They didn't have the
– So to be clear, I think the mayor of the committee, it passed. In fact, in the Senate, it's still not in support of the bill. Support for years, reduce any bill, no matter the same bill the mayor opposed for bills, when bills potentially to create an amnesty problem to the leader, when I feel like if you call it wrong, they can take it off the bill. It's thousands of dollars. So, but then each month, somebody had a $17,000 bill. That balance or credit are all kinds of – I've always been with the bill. Still, we were targeting bringing more $1,000, $4,000 bills where they were sitting on a balance sheet somewhere. It was your whole life. No matter what, you got a bill to your – owe the city cut off. The left hand couldn't have, still really addresses that.
There's actually, it was totally.
That is what they've told everyone since time immemorial.
That sounds like an urban myth to me. I mean, I've never seen a piece of legislation that said that would restrict somebody if they're at fault. That's like stupidity.
Well, and to your point, I've asked for the legislation that prevents that. They tell us is what our legal counsel says we have to do. So rather than, I've discovered in my brief time here, Newell, that whenever you have legal disagreements with the administration, they just ignore your position unless you change the law to address it. So what we did is rather than try to encourage the Sewage and Water Board to kind of get their head out of you know where, we just said, you know what, we're going to remove any impediments to possibly doing this in law, which is what the bill does. It says this: the council through ordinances has supreme flexibility to empower an ordinance that you have every tool available to lower these bills. And that's what the bill does because, I mean, you've seen these last 5 months, Newell. It's like the council is kind of exhausting having to legislate common sense, but we've had to do it repeatedly with a lot of these different agencies and departments who they have policies that just don't make any sense whatsoever, and yet they stick to them and they have no desire to change them.
Well, that's a horse of a different color, right? I mean, I try to put myself in that position, JP, and I know you and I have had many conversations and we both come at it the same way sometimes. You know, if I'm sitting on the board and there's a presentation and it comes to our attention that we screwed up and, you know, we're at fault, and but we are handcuffed to 50%, I would think that I would have a fiduciary obligation to the ratepayers to remedy that problem. And I mean, you're telling me that through the 8 years of Landrieu, the 8 years of Nagin, the 8 years of Morial, and 4 years of Cantrell, no one is awake and says, oh no, this is not fair. This is unreasonable. This needs to change.
Well, I think it's always been unfair, but I think the variances in unfair have been at such a minuscule level. Like, I think, honestly, in my opinion, this, to be clear, these errors in this billing process, as far as I know, go back past Skiro. But I think the difference is before, when the Sewage and Water Board had an error regarding your bill, it was a deviation of like $100 or $50, which you've seen in the last 5 years is the variation is several thousand dollars. And that's really where it's come to a head, in that this has always been a billing problem, but this problem has gotten so egregious and so bad that it's not only unconscionable that no one's kind of tackled it head on, but honestly, there's a quote from Paul Rainwater I used, which was funny because during the hearing, he's the city's lobbyist, and he came to the table and talked about how, you know, billing is a problem, and he kind of gave his spiel. But then when I came up, I pulled a quote from him because, as you might recall, Paul was one of the people that Mitch Landrieu tapped in August after the 2017 flood that almost wrecked the entire city. Sure. And he had a quote when he was reviewing the Sewage and Water Board, and he said, the level of incompetence on billing has gotten to a point that my only conclusion can be that the Sewage and Water Board is so desperately in need of money, it simply doesn't care that the bills are wrong. Now, I'm paraphrasing it somewhat, but that was the gist of it.
Right.
And, I mean, obviously, I mean, we're at a point now where I filed this bill with Stephanie Hilferty. This is a bill she and I worked together on, because where we've consistently been is that the ratepayers of the city have zero confidence in the Sewage and Water Board at this point, none. And a lot of that deals with general issues like the streets being torn up and put back together, and Sewage and Water Board, DPW, kind of fight over who can wreck your streets first. But the most recent issue has been these bills are so bad and so wrong and no one cares about fixing them. And this was really an effort to not only tackle the issue head on, but to show people that government has the same sense of urgency to address your billing issue as to take that money out your pocket. But to get back to your earlier point, it's really surreal to me to have an administration that opposes a bill throughout the process, had lobbied against it in committee, put floor notes out and against it on the floor, and in the last committee hearing we had, no one from this administration testified in favor of the bill, and they didn't put a card in favor of it saying they were in favor of the bill. And then the very next day, the mayor's trying to fundraise money off a bill she was opposed to because now the bill's popular. And, I mean, that is right up there with Al Gore inventing the Internet, in that the local media, and I say this, Newell, with all honesty, I'm so fed up with our local newspapers in that they do zero investigation before printing stories. Because had they went and looked, they would have seen even the day the bill passed committee, and it's on the floor day or tomorrow, the city's never been in favor of it. But simply because she put a press release out saying she was, the press reported it locally like that was her position without verifying at all. I mean, you know the old Ronald Reagan adage, trust but verify. Yeah. They don't verify anything. If she just, I'm sure today if she goes, I invented the Internet, they would say she's owed royalties.
Yeah. We got to get to a break. When we come back, I've got a couple of texts here that I want to read and see your reaction. And also talk a little bit about the most recent revelations relative to smart cities. We'll be right back with J.P. Morrell, City Council at Large. We're back. We're visiting with J.P. Morrell, City Council at Large. J.P., I was reading in the NOLA.com article that folks kind of find it unusual that the council would come together and have a legislative priority. I was kind of mystified by that observation. I mean, you guys are a political body. Why would you not be in a position to articulate, you know, some things that you want to have as a legislative priority?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with kind of this inherent bias that previous councils have not been as active as this council has been. And I think especially Councilmember Moreno and I are both former legislators. It doesn't make sense, and even as a legislator, I was always confused why it was obvious the council had different priorities than the mayor, why they didn't advocate for those separately. But more importantly, when you look at, for example, I'm working with Senator Jimmy Harris on a bill requiring restitution for damage committed by juveniles in the commission of crimes. I'm working with Representative Jason Hughes on a bill that deals with expanding RICO to target adults who recruit children for crimes. I'm working with Jason Hughes on a bill to deal with expanding blight powers for the city to go after blighted property. And obviously with Representative Hilferty, the bill with Sewage and Water Board, it's not that the council's job in the absence of movement is not to sit on its hands too. It was obvious this year that the administration didn't really have a legislative agenda, and that doesn't mean the council should just say, well, if they don't have one, we shouldn't. Every council, this one and ones going forward, if you are individually elected by the people of the city of New Orleans and there are needs, you should speak to those needs, not wait for someone to give you permission.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this billing thing is a classic example. I mean, I keep going back to this 50% cap. It just, if you've created 100% of the problem, I mean, I just can't. It's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard of in my life. And to say that now that, you know, the mayor embracing this, saying, well, we put more tools in the toolbox. What?
I mean, come on. Well, I think that analogy is so flawed because it's almost like the Sewage and Water Board has its own toolbox that they keep away from everyone else. The council has created new tools, and now that people think those tools are going to solve the problem, the mayor runs out the other room and snatches the tools, throws them in the toolbox, and says, look what I did. And that's kind of what happened in this instance because, like I said, throughout this process, the mayor opposed the bill in committee. It got out, I think it was 5-2. The mayor opposed the bill on the floor of the House. It passed 94-3, and then it passed out of committee unanimously. And, I mean, I'm not the mayor. I'm a council member. We're trying to deal with the immediate problems that face people of the city, but it just seems like complete distraction to try and play this awkward game of political gamesmanship while not acknowledging that she's the president of the Sewage and Water Board. If they really want to address this problem, they could have tackled it on their own without us having to do legislation for it. In fact, if the administration is so concerned with tools, they could have offered a bill to solve this problem because billing has been at this multi-thousand-dollar error level for 5 years. It took a new council to come in against their wishes to address the issue, but it existed for almost half a decade under your watch. So, I mean, it's just kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point exactly. It's almost as if we woke up one morning and we forgot that we've already served 4 years. Because she says that she's looking forward to working with local partners on an ordinance that establishes more flexibility to provide for full implementation of automatic metering and any associated variance thresholds. What? I mean, we've been talking about – I know I've been talking about that for 4 years on this show. You know, where is the process to get us to automated metering when we know we have a problem? We can't hire people to go read a meter. And we've got people having to hire lawyers to go and fight with Sewage and Water Board to get their bills reduced. I mean, it's craziness. The cost of living – you know, you're not supposed to have, like, the cost of business here, you know, when you're just running your household. I mean, you know, it's like I get a bill for $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000. What? You know, I have examples of people that live alone. They're one person in a house with a $2,000, $3,000 bill.
No, I mean, it's – well, the thing which really made people upset and it was that there's no – there. Over that period, there was no sense of urgency to actually solve the problem. And I fully believe, and I'm committed, if automated metering actually happens under this bill, the council would have the ability to tweak the appeal process to reflect that. But remember, automated metering came up in 2016.
Yes.
And it was supposed to be right around the corner. And as we move this bill through the process, as part of the city's opposition, their position was automated metering's right around the corner. And the position of this council was that, and many members of the delegation, including Representative Hilferty and Senator Harris, is that people should not have to wait for multiple years of incorrect bankrupting billing so that you get around to automated metering. There has to be relief now, and if automated metering comes online, that's great. We can go back and change the ordinances to reflect that, but people cannot continue to suffer. As we were in Baton Rouge in that Senate committee hearing last week, as Sewage and Water Board continue to say, we're on top of this problem, I'm getting emails in the committee hearing from people who have $3,000 May bills. So as much as everyone keeps publicly facing saying, we're on top of this, we're solving the problem, it's not really happening. And I think, honestly, in my opinion, the fact that there'll be an appellate process similar to property taxes, where if someone is given an erroneous bill, that they can go to a final appeal from a hearing officer put forth by the council, the fact that that exists might make them get the bills done right. Because if you can't collect on these ridiculous, awful bills, maybe you won't send as many out.
So the point, and I guess to sum this up, because I want to move to smart cities real quick, there was nothing precluding this sewage and water board from adopting, you know, a process for hearings relative to a bill, or guaranteeing due process within a prescribed window of time, or, you know, a process of local appeals. These are all by policy, aren't they?
Well, I mean, there's certainly nothing that would have prevented the Sewage and Water Board, for example, from saying that once you decide that you want to pursue an administrative appeal, that you have, the Sewage and Water Board has, for example, 60 days to give you that appeal. Right now, stories I get from people who are trying to get that appeal, some will get in a week, some will never get an appeal. And it's because there's no process. And what we'll do with under this bill, under ordinance, is we will outline the process. We'll say, hey, if you want an appeal, here's your period for an appeal. If you don't like your appeal at the administrative hearing level, you have the ability to do a final appeal to a hearing officer that's not a Sewage and Water Board contractor. And that just having due process, Newell, will go so far to making people feel like that government cares more than just getting the money out their pocket. Because right now it seems like the current process is you'll get so frustrated, eventually you'll pay the bill. I cannot tell you how many people have reached out to me and been told, I entered a settlement agreement for Sewage and Water Board for a bill that was $3,000, and they said the best they could do was $1,500. I just did the settlement deal because I didn't want my water cut off. That's extortion, Newell. I mean, like, honestly, if you've got a bill you know is wrong and you're being told by a state agency, well, you know, yeah, whatever, you may think that best I could do is 50%, and you need water, you know, to live, then some people who just get tired, they settle. And it's unfortunate because I can't bring relief to people who've done those settlements because that's closed. But for those of you out there who are listening right now who've got a $3,000 bill, hold on to your $3,000 bill because it's going to be a process very shortly where you will get the due process you deserve.
Or you get texts like we have here. This resident solved the problem. They moved to the North Shore.
Well, I mean,
and they said we hadn't had a water bill problem since. that's not the solution that people are looking for. They felt like, I'm done. I can't be on this roller coaster ride over a water bill all day long. When we come back, we'll talk about Smart City. We're visiting with J.P. Morrell, City Council at Large. Stay with us, folks. We're back. We're visiting with J.P. Morrell, City Council at Large. We've been talking about the Sewage and Water Board issues. I'm going to pivot to Smart City. I got to say, J.P., that Council Chairwoman Helena Moreno has never been more right on an issue than she has about this Smart Cities program. Her intuition, I think, said something to her about something's not right here, and it seems to prove itself almost every day with new revelations coming our way.
Yeah, I mean, she, for people who don't recall, she was in an article as far back as December when one of the national periodicals commented on how this unusual smart city proposal in New Orleans included repaying the cost by scrubbing people's personal data who are on city Wi-Fi. And even back then, before the whole Jonathan Rose thing blew up, she was like, this thing smells funny. And she's been like a dog with a bone on this as far as just saying, there is something not right here. And despite the fact that at every turn the administration tried to block all information and all access to this, she never gave up. She brought all this to light, and now it's sort of taken a life of its own, because every day, I mean, the revelations we got from Los Angeles that Verge Internet, which is co-owned by the two city employees in question, was in the bid with Magic Johnson's company, as well as Qualcomm. All of the protestations in our hearing where he said there were Mr. Rose, there was no relationship, it was all false. It was all completely a lie. There was a previous relationship. He previously was named as a respondent in a previous proposal with the two companies that he and his colleague then tried to get the city work to.
So where do we go from here? I mean, you know, the council chairwoman brings forward information about a federal program. I was actually aware of it. In fact, I think I even talked about it at one point on this show about this $30 a month subsidy that you can have that the federal government provides for those that can't, low-income Americans eligible to receive it for internet service. And well, it's almost as if the city was completely unaware of this.
And this is after she accuses
y'all of denying internet to residents of New Orleans East.
I think it's a combination of things. One, I think that there's no profit to be made by the individuals who were drug out in the Smart Cities deal if the federal government could simply pass through the payments to those low-income people who need internet. There's no profit there because that's just a government subsidy, which is, as Council President Moreno said, is the correct way to go. If you've got federal money, our own tax dollars coming back to our own region to provide these resources, why not do it that way? Well, the other option was to do something far more expensive and lucrative for the companies that were involved that would have left the taxpayers on the hook, paying for internet they probably didn't need because they had a free option.
It continues to reveal a complete breakdown and lack of transparency in this administration. What are you hiding? I mean, you know, why is this a tug of war for information between the council and the administration? And I'm glad you brought up that this has been going on since last year. A lot of people don't realize that.
No, I mean, it's the Smart Cities deal goes back to 2017. So, I mean, it's been cooking quietly behind the scenes. And there's a real concern we're dealing with right now where between Smart Cities and some other different deals that we've uncovered, the mayor has been heavily utilizing this ability to sign a one-year contract without a council approval to circumvent any review or transparency in the contracting process. And one of the things that we were working on as one of the resolutions to try and get more transparency is to require that when the mayor is signing these one-year contracts, that there has to be a public recordation and it has to be published that these one-year contracts have been solved and what they're for. Because as you saw with Smart Cities, it was supposed to be a multi-year infrastructure contract. The council started to raise alarms, and the administration publicly says, never mind, we're not doing the multi-year because the council has oversight. We're going to sign a one-year contract that has multi-year implications simply to circumvent the council. And, I mean, I can't even tell you. We don't know how many one-year contracts the administration has signed because until this new council came in, no one was asking.
Interesting. So I guess we can assume then that the mayor is now in complete 100% support of HB 652.
Maybe. It's going to be on the floor of the Senate in the next day or so. I mean, I would imagine since she's now received donations over it that we're safe, but who knows?
Well, what's the color of the slip again that you put in?
It's green and green. Red against, and when a white is for information. Just to be clear, the mayor was against the bill throughout the process. We got one white card in Senate committee from Sewage and Water Board for information. We've never gotten a card in the Senate yet where the mayor actually stands on it, so we'll see. Maybe she'll drop a green card. Maybe she'll drop no card. Who knows?
Time will tell. As always, JP, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We know you're busy. We appreciate your time and your insight and the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Noel, have a great day.
All righty. That's Councilman-at-Large JP Morrell. We'll be right back. Scoots up next. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.